Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I can't remember the last time that a North Carolina team made their bones on the defensive end. That's not to say that North Carolina teams in the past have not played good defense, because that would be a lie. There have been good defensive teams at UNC. At their best, I believe UNC's best defense really was scaring the hell out of you offensively, to the point where, oh my gosh, if we don't score all these points, we have no chance to win, which actually makes it a little tougher on you because it ratchets up the pressure. But I think this team is built on the defensive end. First, they can win games like they did at Clemson, holding the Tigers to 55 points. I thought their defense was the number one reason why they won at NC State. Brian Geisinger, our ACC basketball maven, who joins us every Friday, is joining us now on the Adam Gold Show. Can you remember the last time North Carolina was defense first?
That's probably been a little bit. I still think I'd push back a little bit on this UNC team being defense first. They're pretty good on both ends.
I'm not knocking their offense. I just think the defense is the best part of them.
It might be, which is, I mean, it's a little interesting because if you think about them from a personnel standpoint, their best lineup right now, you know, is not the biggest lineup, right? Like it's Harrison Ingram at the four. It's two small guards with RJ Davis and Elliot Cadeau. And then Armando Bacot, you know, anchoring the defense, and he's turned into be like, I think under Hubert Davis, Armando has turned into being a pretty good, like, defensive anchor. They use him in a lot of drop coverage, which means when they're guarding pick and roll, Armando Bacot is usually several steps below the level of the screen. And when they get those screens on the side, UNC is going to try to ice or down them to keep the action on that side of the court. So it's just like real sort of fundamental pick and roll defense and keeping your biggest guy in the paint, and then having your guards and your wings work hard to get over screens so they can stay attached to the ball handler when they come off the screen and there isn't a screen defender right there. Because again, Bacot's in the paint. I do think it's probably flown a little under the radar, but like Cormac Ryan was a defensive stopper, you know, and maybe stopper is like an extreme use, but like he was basically the best perimeter defender the last few years at Notre Dame under Mike Bray. So like,
well, that's like saying I'm the tallest guy in my family, Brian.
Fair, your family's shorter than UNC's backcourt, Gold. But with that, you've got a guy that's like knows how to play a couple different coverage types, and you've got a guy that's also pretty good at working hard to get over screens without fouling, which like that was a huge part. That was like the fundamental principle of Mike Bray's defense was no stupid fouls. And I think that probably flew under the radar a little bit with the addition of Ryan, was that like UNC went out and got like a pretty good wing defender. I don't know. It's interesting because their lineup flexibility is different now with Withers. You know, he came off the bench against State, didn't play all that much. Teams are not having to guard him when he's spaced out at the four. And so by moving Ingram from the three to the four, then UNC can, has a better half court offensive lineup on the court, and it can still obviously control the glass with Ingram and Bacot.
I also like Trimble and the way they have deployed him defensively. Yeah. And I think, look, maybe I'm overselling it, because it wouldn't be the first time that I've done that, where I latch on to something that I believe to be true and then drive it home. I am going to turn the narrative into this North Carolina team is a gritty team, right? Again, this is not something that we are normally used to. Normally, it's pretty offense. How do you keep up with them scoring? Keep going fast, get out and run. And, you know, we'll do the best we can defensively. Somebody's going to go for a career high from three-point range against them normally. But I just think that they have so many ways to stop you, whether it's and they're not a great offensive rebounding team either. That's the thing. They're okay, but it's not what it's not their specialty like it normally is.
Yeah, that's actually what I was going to say. And just real quickly, first off, yeah, I like Trimble a lot. He's like really important for them just in terms of like a length athleticism standpoint in the backcourt. Like they really need him. And he's a solid, like, you know, third guard off the bench. But yeah, usually when I think when you think of UNC as being like gritty, because I think of their 2017 title team as being that. But it was mash you on the offensive glass. It was an offensive rebound. You know, they're going to rebound 40-whatever% of their misses. This season, they're under 33%. Yeah. They really only have one guy that hits the glass, and that's Bacot. He's an elite offensive rebounder, and also he's very good at drawing fouls. And, like, his ability to draw fouls is huge for them in terms of the half-court offense. He's really the one guy that can do that at a high clip. NC State's best low post guy, DJ Burns, he's incredible. He's a huge talent. But Bacot almost draws fouls at a rate that almost double Burns. That's because like he's a guy that plays physical going towards the rim, whereas DJ is incredible. He's sort of best by throwing in like weird hook shots and, you know, flinging out skip passes and doing those kinds of things.
According to Bart Torvik, North Carolina's defense, adjusted defensive efficiency, better than their offense. I'm just saying. I'm not trying to compare size of basketball brains because I cannot compete with yours, Brian. But
I would only say my guess is that opponents won't shoot 29% on threes all season against UNC. And at some point, that number will jump up a little bit, and that defensive efficiency will probably like some of this is just like you know is shooting luck to an extent. But no, they played a great defensive game against State, but NC State missed how many open looks on spot up threes that Burns kicked out to last night. Like if two of those or three more of those go in, it totally flips the game.
So let me ask you about the game, because this is the way I looked at it. Because I've said this you've heard me say this. I think great defense has a cumulative effect. That if I'm defending you well, seven straight possessions, maybe I slip up on the eighth, but because I have defended you so well, you're sped up a little bit. I felt like NC State played the first 10 or 11 minutes of the second half when the game was there. They could have had a more positive impact on the way that game was ultimately going to play out. And State just rushed everything. They were not in balance when they took shots. Some good shots were just hoisted up early in shot clocks. I wouldn't even call them good shots. I would call them acceptable shots or open shots. But they were not in rhythm. I thought they were rushed the entire second half, and they gave away some opportunities that they normally wouldn't have. I think that was had a lot to do with UNC's defense. I'm going to keep trying to sell this line, Brian. I appreciate you sticking to your guns.
I'm with you. Like I'm with you, but like. Early in the second half, to the point of being sped up, there was an exchange probably about 4 or 5 minutes. I think UNC was up probably 5 or 7 points, something like that. State played probably its best defensive possession of the game, just like a perfect, you know, 25 to 30 seconds worth of defense. UNC misses a shot. State runs the ball down, drag screen action. DJ Burns seals and, you know, either Horn or Taylor throws it to him in the post. And DJ Burns I thought he played pretty well offensively the other night. He misses a layup that he probably makes goal probably like 98 out of 100 times. And then UNC rebounds the miss. They go down. RJ Davis, you know, drains a three.
Yeah. Pull up three.
It was a 5-point swing. A 5-point swing in the span of, 10, 15 seconds. And that was one of those moments where it's just like, man, if State's going to actually, you know, pull off the upset tonight, you just can't have like that was such a huge like leverage hinge moment of the game. I think my biggest gripe with like with State in terms of like their managing of pace in that game, though, was it took State so long. I think it was probably 7 or 8 minutes into the game before they threw out their first press. They were not. And part of that was they weren't making shots.
Yeah.
but they like weren't ready for UNC to get to the secondary break and push after misses. And like, that's just something it's tough to stop, and UNC's got great guards, but you know it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like something that State wasn't ready for. And it's a nice counter that UNC has, because like NC State presses a lot. They use the press to force a lot of turnovers or to force teams to play late into the shot clock. And then they can run off those plays. And like, State's not a great half court offense, especially when the jumpers aren't falling. And so they need that transition game that's juiced up by the press. And it didn't really hit the other night.
I agree. 100% agree. See, we found agreement. All right. Perfect. As I transition to Duke, we have just a few more minutes left. But I'm going to tack on one more North Carolina thing here as we get to Duke. RJ Davis, to me, the difference, like, that game was defined by one team had RJ Davis and the other didn't, because I think he does so many things at important times. That three that you mentioned, before it left his hand, I was watching it with my 15-year-old, and I'm like, this is in. You know, yeah. You can tell when he is about to make that shot, and he can beat you in a whole bunch of different ways. Davis or Kyle Filipowski right now, who is the ACC's Player of the Year?
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I mean, for me, it's Filipowski, pretty convincingly. And that's nothing against RJ Davis. Like, I think he's been the 1A, 1B best guard in the league, along with maybe Judah Mintz up at Syracuse. I thought Elliot Cadeau played awesome for UNC. That was maybe the best game he's had as a Tar Heel. But no, Filipowski, and for the simple reason that he is doing something that I don't think anyone else in the country is doing, where he is orchestrating Duke's half-court offense from every spot on the court as a 7-foot center, whether it's the high post at the elbow, it's above the break on pick and pops, it's in the post, and him having to like work around double teams and an opponent's sagging off Mark Mitchell, and like what he's doing, mapping the floor and spraying passes around often for Jared McCain threes or to Mark Mitchell in the dunker spot for a finish at the rim. But it's not just that. Duke's now probably top 12, top 15 in defensive efficiency.
Mm-hmm.
And he's anchoring the defense for them. It's the rebounds. It's the rim protection. The block numbers are up. He's still getting steals at a high rate this year too, which is part of his game. He gets a lot of deflections, and those can often translate into steals. But I think I brought this up last Friday, Gold. Like, they're able to guard pick and roll every different way they need to be able to do it. And it's because of Filipowski. He can switch out onto opposing guards, like he did against Bub Carrington, who's an NBA player for Pittsburgh. He can be in the drop. He can be up at the level. He can hedge. He's just doing everything for them. He's expending a ton of energy on both sides of the court. I just don't think anyone's being asked to totally like carry an offense and anchor a defense in the way that Filipowski is. And he's doing that in putting up monster numbers at super high efficiency. Like, I think he's the player of the year in the country personally.
Maybe.
So just beyond the ACC, but Davis is awesome too. And look, you know, Bacot has probably like an outside shot at player of the year from like a statistical standpoint as well.
Yeah. If it comes down to stats, I don't know how you're going to top Kyle Filipowski.
He's insane.
He does everything.
He's insane.
And watching him go 4-for-4 from deep at Pitt, and I know they mentioned it.
Yeah.
I don't know how you deal with that as an opposing defense if he is going to pick and then pop out to the 3-point line and knock that down.
You can try to switch, but then you're going to put a guard on him and he's going to just maul that person in the post. Like, he's a total matchup destroyer. Like, he is absolutely a problem because he's huge. He can shoot, he can really pass, and he can dribble. He scores from everywhere. Like, they use him the way that like they would use Ben Caro if they played Paolo at like small ball center more that season. But like he's being applied in very similar ways.
And Jared McCain is shooting a high percentage from three. So is Jeremy Roach. Filipowski, I mean, they shot a high percentage from three against Pitt. So they were 8 of 14 in the first half at that. And, you know, it's weird. We're going to close on this and apologize for other things that we didn't get to today, but we'll get to them next week. We're going to do this every Friday with Brian. The margin that they created, the score, the margin in the game, which ended the game, to me was their defense was great. But that's not a 48-23 game at the half unless they go bonkers from three-point range. And it was really over at halftime. In some ways, it was deceiving, even though Duke was so much better. That score could have been way worse than it actually was. I'll be curious to see if they can do that again without destroying the Nets from three-point range. Because they're not going to be, you know, a 70% three-point shooting team. So
yeah, but you can go to the game right before that on the road at Notre Dame.
Right,
Proctor doesn't score. Jared McCain has an off game until he gets like a little hot down the stretch. Filipowski didn't score until the second half. They scored under 1 point per possession in that game. They were 13 of 33 on twos, and they still won.
Right.
Like against the Notre Dame team that like. By the way, recently hasn't been too bad. Almost beat NC State, beat Virginia, and just beat Georgia Tech too. So, like, I think because the defense is rounding into form, and that's a huge part of Filipowski and Jared McCain also just like playing better on that side of the court, that like Duke has the ability to win ugly too.
Brian Geisinger, 24/7 Sports BuzzBeat Podcast at @BGeis_Bird. Talk to you next week, my man.
Have a good weekend, you guys.
You got it.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.